sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Episode 101. Poetry, podcast, and pistols. A lot of pee in that shit. Pussy and paper is poetry, power, and pistols. Plotting on murdering motherfuckers for the get you. Pray to the heaven, 357 to the sky, and I'm hoping, and I hope I'm forgiven for thug living when I die. I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto for thug niggas. Oh, let me try this again. I wonder if heaven got a ghetto for thug niggas, a stress-free life, and a spot for drug dealers. Pissing while practicing how to be a pimp, and be a player, overdose of a dick while drinking liquor when I lay her. Come on, Pac. Pistol whipping the simps for being petrified and lame, disrespecting the game, praying for punishment and pain. Going insane, never die, I live eternal, who shall I fear? Don't shed a tear for me, nigga, I ain't happy here. I hope they bury me, send me to my rest, headline reading murder to death, my last breath. Take a look, picture a crook on his last stance. Motherfuckers don't understand if I died tonight. Yeah. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black. Okay, this is a little loud on my headphones, but I am your host, still your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blitzer, a.k.a. B. Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa Beat. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start today's show, I got to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 9th, 2023, on a hump day. So midweek episode, hump day. Stick around if you're humping around. And on 9:22 p.m., damn, it's late, 9:22 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I'm talking folding chair, fuck you too. Hey, yo. Okay, so check this out, man. It's not a proud moment, but there's not going to be any sound effects in today's episode. It's because I made an executive decision. The little device that I use to transfer the sound from my PC to my board, well, it died. Fucking thing, man. That's what I get for buying a piece of shit product from China. Anyway, China. Sorry, I'm trying to sound like Trump here. From China. Anyway, yeah, so, you get what you pay for it. I bought some piece of shit. I thought it was good. Then this motherfucker simply died on me. But you know what that means? I have an excuse to buy a new one. I have an excuse to go to dig myself deeper in debt and buy a new one. Right. Shout out to everyone who I managed to convince that I'm rich, but deep down inside, I just don't know how to manage money. Yeah, that's just, all right, okay. So executive decision. Initially, I was going to cancel today's episode, but then it hit me. I'm like, well, if this was work, if I was getting paid for this gig, I'd find a solution. And what I did is, so because I won't be doing any, oh, well, you know what? Hold on. I guess I could do sound effects, but it's just not going to sound that great. Hold on a second. Let me try something. It's not going to sound that great, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's kind of distant. Yeah, you're not, okay, fuck that. But what I will be able to do, this is where my genius kicked in. I have this old piece of shit Chromebook. It's by first world standards, it's a piece of shit Chromebook because it's fucking slow. You know when it's time to upgrade your computer and everything is just fucking slow, you just double click on it. And you're waiting, and you're waiting. Like you're on a dial-up. You kids don't know what a dial-up is, but it's like being on dial-up. And you just double-click, and the computer's like debating on whether to respond to your request. Yeah, that's what's going on. Anyway, so I have this going, and I will be using it to hopefully play audio clips, like from TikTok clips and shit like that. So hopefully it'll go good. If not, then news of random thoughts will be canceled, but I'm still going to charge myself for this episode. All right. Okay. Real quick. Also, if I see there's a chance that I might have to cancel this episode, if I see a black hat in the air, that's sign for me to get the fuck. It's time. It's on. Call up the homies. It's about to go down. A black hat thrown in the air is the international symbol of all black people. All black people, all hands on deck. And if you're familiar with the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, so I'm just, hold on a second. Yeah, I thought I saw a black hat in the air because I'm about to leave. You know what I mean? I got my bat. I got my six shooter. Not really, it's a cap gun. But whatever, man. Them white folks won't know. Whatever. Yeah, I'll pistol whip with my cap gun. I made myself giggle. All right, okay. All right. So like I said, yeah, I may interrupt this show if I see a black hat. Fist up to get down. Hats up to get down. That might be the title for the next episode. Hats up to get down. But yeah, okay. All right. New listeners, how it goes down. There's three acts to this podcast. First one is the intro, which is what you're listening to, what you're listening now. You know what? Intro encompasses the intro, the theme song, and this shit, and what I'm doing now. And then the second act is called User Random Thoughts, where I just, like the title says, User Random Thoughts. And last act is Final Thoughts. Final Thoughts. Usually it relates to the title of this episode. So, now that I've given you the format, before we run to User Random Thought, I'm going to play this quote. I'm going to play something that someone said that I appreciated. Now, unfortunately, this is one of those scenarios is listen to the message, not the messenger. Kind of scenario, and because the messenger is Deion Sanders, and I've heard some problematic shit about that brother. Anyway, yeah, but he said something that I really appreciated and felt the need to share with y'all. So here we go, and then after that, we run to using random thoughts. All right, let's do this. Oh, hold on a second. I just remembered that I got to use the other device. Just bear with me. You can't tell. I just realized you guys know I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, let's. All right. Okay. Refresh. And go. Damn, it's taking a while to refresh.
Look at me. What about me would make you think that I care about your opinion of me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion that I have of myself.
Right up.
You ain't make me, so you can't break me. You didn't build me, so you can't kill me. I, you know what? God established me, so you ain't nothing you could do to me. I've been dealing with this foolishness since Pee Wee football, man. I've been him. I've been a difference maker, a game changer. I've been that guy. So what would change now that I'm coaching? Not a darn thing. I'm not even playing the game, and you got an opinion of me. I'm not even on the field. But I'm pretty sure I get every darn coach I'm playing against, head coaches, and anything you want to do. But I love it, but I don't care. And I wish the world thought like that. Youngsters, if you're out there right now, do not give a darn what opinions people have of you. Long as that opinion is not consistent of that of yourself. You be you. I'm not playing to make you feel good about me. I already feel good about me. I'm good.
All right, that's it. Fuck it. And link will be in the show notes. The most powerful part about what he said is, oh, my God, am I being positive? Holy fuck, what's wrong with me? I swore I was not going to be one of those positive go-getter people. But no, it's not. No, again, I am not trying to preach to you. This is just one of those messages that hit home. All right? What I like about what he said, what he's saying is, let me put it this way. Shout out to those of us who grew up overvaluing other people's opinion of us. Overvaluing our opinion, other people's opinion of us, and undervaluing our positive opinion about ourselves. Some of us just are unable to give ourselves a pat on the back. Some of us. And oh, fuck it. I'm going to speak to myself. All right. Okay. If you can relate, you can relate. This is what this podcast is about. I say shit. With hopeful intention that someone else can relate. So I'm not going to preach. I'm going to speak for myself that I can relate to the idea of people who grew up being unable or the idea of patting yourself on the back was a foreign idea or forbidden, was taboo. And that's why this quote is powerful to me. With that said, let's run to news and random thoughts. All right. Do you hear that hesitation? All right. Okay, like I said, I got to use the other computer. Yeah, you know what? We can do this. We're going to do this. All right, let's do this, okay? Work around. Let's do this. All right. Damn, that does not sound nice. Fuck. Okay, whatever. Well, I was listening to an episode of Bodega Boys, and this one time, I don't know, I think they got kicked out of their studio or the studio was being painted or some shit like that, but they ended up recording and the sound quality sucked, but they still delivered. I still listened to the whole episode. Yes, I was tempted to be like, fuck this shit, man. Come on, man. But then it hit me. I'm not paying for this stuff. I got some nerve. I got a lot of motherfucking nerves, man. Anyway, this is episode 101. I promise it won't happen again. Like I said, I should buy it right now. No, I got a show to do. All right, okay, let's go. All right. First things first, I call this the hunter-gathering myth. And I made myself three notes because usually I tend to over-talk. The first item that comes up is, I don't know if it's nervousness, but I tend to talk a lot, and I wrote three specific notes, and I'm going to stick to them, right? And it's one, it's something that I liked. Two, if you know, you know. By that I mean, to the third point, avoid fucking explaining. I'm going to play this shit. I'm going to place this. Some of you, actually, those of you who this podcast is not meant for, you're going to want to be defensive. Your first question is going to be like, how the fuck does he know is that true? Right? And I'm going to avoid, I can picture you doing that. And I'm going to avoid addressing you. If you know, you know. Another portion of it will listen and then understand the gist of the message. And that's why I'm playing it, because I agree with it. Okay, so I titled this one, in the show notes, it'll be listed as the hunter-gatherer myth. Hunter-gatherer myth. And it's just, I'm playing this as a fuck you to the church of to the cult of masculinity. All right, here we go. Please, podcast God, play this. Allow this shit to play properly. Volume 6, okay.
You know how we've always been told that in prehistoric society, men were hunters and women were gatherers? It turns out that that's just not true. A team of researchers just looked through 63 different prehistoric societies and found that women hunted in most of them. Mm. Not only that, but women were really good hunters because they hunted without ego. Mm-hmm. Men tried to hunt solo or in pairs, but women would group up. They did whatever was best for the situation, even using animals like dogs to help them hunting. They were cooperative. Not only that, but the women were the teachers of the hunters. They had the lore and the knowledge, and they taught the other hunters, men and women. And not only that, but guess who the best hunter in many of these tribes was? Guess who? It was Grandma. Grandma had the most skills. Grandma was the most revered hunter in many of these societies. Don't get me wrong, men were good hunters too. The evidence shows that when it comes to hunting large game, men and women were about on even footing. Like, literally 50% of large game hunting was done by men, and 50% by women. And do you know where the idea of men hunter, women gatherer came from in the first place? It came from insecure male researchers introducing a bias. You see, what happened was, a lot of this evidence comes from how people were buried with their hunting tools, right? Revered hunters were typically buried with their tools, but this is like tens of thousands of years ago, so stuff decays and falls apart. And what happened was, when you found like an arrowhead next to a male corpse, the male researchers were like, yeah, that was definitely a hunter. But when they would find the same type of arrowhead or whatever buried next to a female corpse, they would be like, not sure that was a hunter. That might be some sort of kitchen implement. It was literally that type of insecurity that introduced this bias into the research in the first place. So yeah, we basically have scientific evidence that men have been insecure for 200,000 years.
That's fucked up. Oh, thank you. All right, content creator's name. Holy shit. Sorry, I keep... okay, sorry. I am looking for a tweet that Wait, hold on. B.Black. All right. Oh my God. Yeah, and I just got distracted by another tweet. Montgomery Broad. My Twitter feed is filled with that shit. All right. okay. Oh, right. What was I saying? Okay. I like the idea about men being insecure for a while. Shout out to my homegirl Erica Afil, wicked chick on Twitter. She was posting a video of a pregnant woman doing exercise in the gym, lifting weights that I can't do. Now, I won't lie. She's pregnant. And basically giving me a... an exceptional human being. Look. She's in the fucking gym. And she's pregnant while she's doing it. Okay. But my point is, someone wrote... She was retweeting someone and it said, what was the reason? She says, here's another example of policing women's body. Leave her alone. And I responded with, policing women's body is what my gender does best. It's where we get our self-worth from. I actually have this theory that, and it's, okay, it's a theory. It's not, I won't fight you over it, but it's just, it's more of a fucking notion. Again, if you know, you know. Because I'm used to saying this to some to people and they get defensive about it, right? But I have this theory that women are the stronger sex, and the only reason men believe they're the only reason men have the title of stronger sex is because women allow us to believe it, because if they didn't, we would go to war with them. Ego shit. All right. Okay. All right. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Next item I got on this thing. Hey, Tory Lanez. If you know, you know. Yeah. So if you heard about Tory Lanez, idiot shot. I don't like Tory Lanez, man. I don't know him personally. You're right. I don't know him personally. But the shit that I heard he did some fuck shit that just made me, dude, man. Instead of defending yourself, instead of accusing people of lie, you need to work. You need to... Let me put it this way. It's a disgrace. The shit that's associated with... Long story short, shoots a black woman that when she was investigated, she didn't say shit. And then his dumbass, instead of saying thank you... Ooh, what's going on? Can't find your phone. What's that about? What do you mean can't find my phone? It's right in front of me. And whatever. My Chromebook is fucking with me right now. All right, okay. Whatever, man. I'm not going to give you the story. If you know, you know. But long story short, he's got 10 years. 10 years for fucking up and talking shit. And someone tweeted something that I feel articulates the thought to why I decided to speak about Tory Lanez and his 10 year that he got. And Zito, at underscore Zeets, writes, "Still don't think I've ever seen self-sabotage like this before. She," as in Megan Thee Stallion, "didn't press charges and lied to protect him. And so he went on a strange campaign of trashing her in public, only for the state to then charge him for it to end up like this. Never had to happen." Yeah, I guess I'm not going to dig into it, man. I'm just saying, because I can hear the Tory Lanez defenders coming in on this. You know what? This is another reason why I got distracted, because I was hearing this. Oh, I can't play it because I'll leave it in the show notes. I saw a tweet and one of the female Tory Lanez defender was saying some shit. "Tory Lanez superfan threatens Megan Thee Stallion." Oh, wow. "And the Stallion and Mariah the Scientist outside the court. I can light shit up." Wow, whatever. Anyway, yeah, I'm just saying, you know what it is? The people coming to Tory Lanez's defense are the reason that makes it look even uglier. It's like, you did that shit. You did, yeah, the people coming to his defense are usually, yeah, you know what, technically, I hate black women. It's like them kind of niggas. And as a result, yeah, I don't like you Tory Lanez either. All right. oh, right. I forgot what I like in the response to the tweet that I just read. Someone wrote, "No one went to shut up. Truly is an unutilized skill," which is what this podcast is about. No one went to shut up. It saves lives. All right. Okay. Next item. I forget this is Wednesday and I'm on a school night and I got to rush this shit. What else do I have? Montgomery Brawl. All right. Yes. This is what I meant about fist up to get down. Hats up to get down. Now, yes, I did talk about the Montgomery Brawl on Sunday. Didn't realize it was going to... We're still speaking about it. Yo, you know what's beautiful about the Montgomery Brawl? I know it's been 2 days long. Like, I'm not going to say anything that your favorite black podcaster hasn't said already. But I am going to share how I fuck it. It's the gift that keeps on giving. There's so many angles to this fight. And it was just keep coming. Okay. I'll tell you, the reason why, I don't know if I mentioned it on the last episode. All I know, I remember saying that I called it a fight, a nigga in the white. If the nigga don't win, we all jump in. Yeah. The reason why I enjoy out of the many reasons why I enjoy the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl is because it reminds me of high school. When we were in high school, and I remember we were like a group of, I went from being basically, I found my tribe. I was finally amongst black people, and it blew my mind. And one of the greatest moments we would have is when a white person, would do some racist shit. And by racist shit, I mean like something as stupid as, "I'm going to engage Tyrone in a fight, and I know Tyrone doesn't like to be called, I don't see color. I know Tyrone doesn't like to be called the N-word. I know the rest of these N-words, well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Tyrone." And he would do something, that white person would do something stupid like call Tyrone the N-word. And think only Tyrone would hear that shit. And then what would happen is, word would get around through the, we didn't have the internet back then, but it was like, you know, but the nigger net. Word would get around and then what? And you know, I remember hearing, I was in the middle of reading Roots. So I'm passionate. I was watching Eyes on the Prize and the cracker said, what? I was right. My mom, God bless her soul. My mom, she'll tell you she doesn't remember these things, but she used to tell me about, yo, during slavery, we fucked them crackers up. After slavery, we fucked them crackers. You know, we didn't fuck around, whatever, right? She wasn't on that quote-unquote woke shit. It was just like, I don't know. She just felt the need to say, yeah, man, remember who you are. Whatever. But my point is, I didn't know this at the time, but I was very sensitive to the N-word. So, and mom mentality, everyone else gathered around. I'm like, well, fuck it, man. We all partaking. And it was amazing to see, like, these white people would do their white people thing by throwing their morality. No, man, it's supposed to be one-on-one. So, you don't get it, Cracker. You should have dissed his favorite sports team. You should have dissed his mama. You should have dissed, well, then his brothers would have jumped in. But you should have dissed his car. You should have dissed his girl or some shit like that. But don't use the N-word. My point is, what I'm getting at, the Montgomery River Brawl reminded me of when in high school all us black kids would all come together to whoop some white person's ass and his homies. Him or anyone could get it. Anyone could get it. I'm not saying we were bullies. Don't get me wrong. We were not bullies. But I'm just saying, if you want to bring black people together, white people, do some racist shit. Holy shit, somewhere there's a white person saying, all right, I'm going to help you niggers come together. Some woke white person. Like John Brown. Yeah. Either that. Well, my bro, okay, let me just get, okay, so we're still talking about the Montgomery River Brawl, and I'm going to read a tweet, right, about the historical context about the River Brawl. I did not read this on the last episode, but by now it's well known, but I'm still going to read it just so you understand the symbolism to this moment in history, man, moment in history. It goes, tweet by Terrell for City Council. Oh, Terrell Alderson? Anderson, sorry, Terrell Anderson. He goes, in context of what happened tonight in Montgomery, Alabama, was that the white family was asked to move their boat from the docks so that the city riverboat can dock in its normal place. The black guard working the dock, turns out he's not a guard, he's more of a, I think he's a ship captain. The black guard working the dock asked the white family to move their boat. And they refused. I saw that clip. And I can see a lot of white people looking at it. Oh, he could have been more friendly. That brother looked like, I done tell you, move your fucking boat. Sorry. I'm doing that thing where I look at situation through the white gaze because I anticipate their response to it, so I'm going to stop it. That brother looked like he done told these people, move your ship. And these white people were acted indignant. This nigger's not gonna tell. My grandpappy didn't die under Confederation, wrapped in the Confederation flag, so this nigger can talk back to me. You know, whatever. I can't do no southern accent. But I can do an impression of an indignant white man. This porch monkey is not gonna tell me what to do with my boat. I'll be got that. Oh, you know what it reminded me? Holy shit. Hold on a second. This is what it reminds me. This is actually how he reacted. He goes, dude, trust me, it's worth it. I'm going to take my time. He goes, what's it called? Dude, oh my God. Dude. Oh, I can't type on this shit, dude. Fuck, I'm making my own self laugh. Damn it, bear with me. Oh, did he really delete it? Hold on, let's see if this is still there. No, that's not it. Okay, I was looking for that clip. This is what he goes, do my ears deceive me? Oh, is that a fucking nigger telling me what to do? Oh, I know what I could do. Hold on a second. Wait. Do my eyes deceive me? And then put in the word nigger. I wonder if we'll Google it around like. Okay, there it is. Okay, hold on. Oh, they deleted it. Oh, no, it's here. Hold on a second. Yeah, hold on. Let me, can I transfer it to my, can I transfer it, send link to your device? Ah, it looks like I can't. Why can't I? What? Oh, shit. Oh, this sucks. Okay. All right, whatever, man. Do my eyes deceive me? Here, I'll play it. Do my eyes deceive me, or is this a nigger telling me what to do? Anyway, that's what happened, man. The white folks were like, this nigger's trying to tell me what to do. And then he was doing his job. He was doing his job. And then they fought the black dude. They fought him. They fought him. There's a lot of, you know what's funny is, I don't know why we're doing this, but some of us are on the internet for some reason, waiting to hear the response from white people. Why? 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 It's like we want to hear someone say, well, it's not fair. What the fuck? You hit the bitch with a chair. You know what I mean? It's like there's that idiot, whatever. Why? Are we going to, why? I'm not, okay, maybe one. But I'm not going to engage any white person conversation. Okay, you know what's frustrating about dealing with white people? I wrote this on some mention board and I hurt some white people. I hit some white fragility. Again, this episode, this podcast doesn't give a fuck about white fragility. But you know what's frustrating about dealing with white people? And this is a fact. It's how they refuse, how they're unwilling or unable. No, unwilling and unable to understand the context, the historical context. By our shared history. White people were raised, like, can you see the debate that's going on with CRT? How, well, we can't teach our kids about fucking slavery. Don't want to kill themselves. Don't want to, they're going to want to feel guilty and give these black people our riches that we worked hard from. Like, because they raised their kids to, hey, look, the reason why you're in a first world country is because you earned it. Our ancestors earned it. We got off our ass while these monkeys were in Africa without Jesus playing on the boom on the drums. We were out here. We came to this land. We discovered this land. We made peace with the natives, those who cooperated. We settled on this land. Like the version they created for themselves about how they got to where they are. Like, because they're proof, they can afford to lie to themselves about their worldview. It's kind of like being rich. Kind of like being rich. You can tell yourself, I'm thinking of that scene in The Wire when in season one, when D'Angelo goes into a restaurant with his girl and D'Angelo's self-conscious. Goes, you think these people know I'm a drug dealer? And his girl's like, nigga. Oh, she didn't say nigga, but she says, fuck. Bro, you rich. You can be whatever the fuck you want. As far as they're concerned, you inherited generational wealth, whatever. You know what I mean? It's I think I'm starting to believe that what goes around comes around. No, I'm not there yet. I'm still not there. But I am starting to realize that there's only so long white people can continue to lie about slavery and the effect of slavery. Genocide and the effect of genocide. This ain't a. I feel like there's a white person listening to them and their feelings getting hurt. No, this ain't an attack on white people. It's an attack on the bullshit you were fed. You were fed as kids that you never bothered challenging. How they got this worldview and in this world, like. Anyway, I'm not engaging white people in conversation about the Montgomery brawl. All I know is, it's ça chauffe le coeur, it warmed my heart. And I'm going to leave it at that. You know what I mean? Like, hey, one way to not look racist is to not do shit like sympathize with racists. Like, I can understand feeling empathy, going, oh, it's a shame these white people had to get their ass whooped. You know what I mean? You know, one thing you could do is not show empathy to them, and then when you see a black person getting murdered by the cops, being like, oh, what did that thug do? Either you show empathy for everyone, or you don't. That's all I'm saying. All right. Okay. Okay. There's more details I was going to read. I didn't realize I was going to go on a rant, but there's, like, more details about what happened. Like, the police chief just spoke up. Warrants were issued. He goes, the captain of the river. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The captain of the riverboat remained away from the dock for 40 to 45 minutes because the private boat was blocking. Damn. What do you mean the captain? Okay. The owner of the boat confronted the co-captain of the riverboat were obscene and aggressive. He was doing his job. Anyway, yeah, man, it's clearing up the situation. And yeah, them white folks were clearly at fault. I was actually waiting to hear, like, we were going to move the boat, but the fucking, you know, like I really was looking forward to hear how they were going to spin this shit. Or the usual, hey, that is not a representation of who we are. What we are, no, we are not racist. We love Michael Jackson. You know, I was waiting for that shit. But, yeah, anyways. I just realized I do enjoy talking. All right, okay. With that said, I've talked about the Montgomery Brawl. And the reason why black people are, two reasons why black people, it warms our heart to see this shit is because we're so used to watching clips of black people confronting racism using nonviolence or turning into martyrs. I'm gonna fight racism, whatever, and you're dead. It's the first time, it's one of the rare time. I mean, you know, like I said, I've seen that shit happen in high school, but it's one of the rare times you see black folks come together. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. Even the women were like, hey, fellas, we got this. We're gonna beat the shit out of this white woman. Hey, white lady, get off your hands off it. Like, it was come together. No one was thinking about, hold on a second, aren't you Muslim? Ain't you Christian? Ain't you gay? No one was thinking, oh, I'm kind of hoping no one was thinking that. That's just going to ruin this shit. But all this to say, okay, because now I got to come back to reality, because this is just a short-lived moment. Black people can't come together for shit. And I'm just going to play a reminder to, I'm just going to play this clip to serve as a reminder as, fuck, hold on a second. The laptop just died. Oh, because I forgot to power it up. Yeah, it is a reminder of shit, it ain't all good in our community. Try again. Let me get this. Nope, not this one. I played this already. What about this one? Played this already. I just remembered that there's not a lot of memory. Oh, here we go.
There is no family, community, liberation for the black community without black queer folk. Period. What's up, y'all? My name is Eric, the Eric Lewis, and my good sister Nate's taking a sabbatical, honey. She said she up in the mountains. So I figured I'd help my sister out by subbing in and giving y'all something to chew on. Now, don't worry, I won't keep y'all for too long. I'ma keep it black, but I'ma keep it brief. Today, I want to touch on what has always seemed to be a strenuous relationship between black cis heterosexual folk and the LGBTQIA plus community. I came across this tweet, which I'll read. How does not being homophobic benefit the black community? And how does being pro-LGBTQIA plus benefit the black family? Now, this seems to be a widely held sentiment within the black community, especially given recent queer antagonistic legislation and discourse. This idea that black queer folk are disposable, or we aren't of any real relevance, or we are a threat in opposition to the black struggle for liberation. When the topic of the black family or the black family unit is brought up, it is very evident that these conversations are shaped by the ideals propagated in the nuclear family model. As often referenced in online discourse, the concept of the nuclear family was put forth by sociologists during the 1940s to foster the advancement of the white middle class, advocating for a familial structure that emphasized cis heterosexual couples and their biological children. Uh-huh. This idealization of the nuclear family during the 40s, 50s led to discriminatory policies exemplified by restrictive zoning practices, which hindered black families from acquiring property and monetary assets within specific residential areas. In addition, this nuclear family model reinforced harmful ideologies around traditional gender roles and gender performance, relegating women to being housewives and baby birthing machines and men to emotionless laborers. In truth, the nuclear family model was just a marketing tool utilized by advertisers to tap into the familial consumer base. It was
Hold on a second. This, I have to pause that shit. The family, the nuclear model, mom, dad, two kids, wife, and the two kids. That's some marketing bullshit. All right, keep going. I'm sorry. I'm going to rewind just a bit. Sorry for interrupting, but keep going.
familial consumer base. It was very much a marketing ploy intended to bolster consumer culture, sell products and services, sell people on the American dream. Over time, it became something that made its way into our entertainment, our media, thus sowing these ideals and values into the fabric of American society. Now listen, child, we could get into how this ideology is rooted in white supremacy. Despite the fact that there were and are plenty of black two-parent households, this ideology and framework is the very antithesis to the cultural and communal way of living that has existed within the black diaspora. Pre-colonial influence, yeah, we could get into all that. But what I really want to get into is how this queer antagonistic discourse and these ideas of family, as exemplified in that tweet, are instruments of white supremacy meant to devalue the contributions of black queer folk to the black collective struggle for liberation, and also how these talking points contribute to our erasure. Now, I'm not really sure why in the year 2023, during this Gregorian calendar, black cishet folk are still clinging to the teat of post-World War II ideology like the nuclear family, a framework that's always been intentional in the exclusion of black men and women. And furthermore, I don't know where y'all got using it as a benchmark to assess the value of black queer folk within the black collective, or using it as a means to legitimize y'all's queer phobia. Okay, I feel like we've lost the plot. It seems as though y'all only value the work, thoughts, opinions of black queer folk when it's in service to cisgender heterosexual folk in the black community. Y'all don't mind reaping the benefits of our creativity, our intellect, our theory. Y'all don't mind us putting our bodies on the front lines in protest for all of our civil and human rights, so long as y'all can discard of us and ostracize us. Listen, black queer folk have always been at the forefront of the fight for black liberation, and without their contributions, we would not be where we're at in this lifetime. When the state instituted the counterintelligence program in an effort to disrupt and neutralize black freedom fighters like Asada Shakur, it was black queer revolutionaries like Kwasi Balogun, a bisexual anarchist, Black Panther, and political prisoner, who helped her escape prison and helped her flee to Cuba to continue the fight for black sovereignty. When we seek the language and theory to assist us in naming our conditions and lived experiences, we look to black queer theory and essayists like Audre Lorde, bell hooks, James Baldwin. And in 2020, when we were locked in our homes, watching as the world caught on fire, protesting the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, it was black queer women like Oluwatoyin who took to the streets to fight on behalf of those fallen lives and ended up being murdered while doing so. And let me be clear, I say none of this to gain your validation. Our right to exist as black queer folk is not a right to be earned by way of our labor or historical contribution. Instead, it is to reiterate that there is no family nor liberation for the black community without black queer folk. And that is how history tells it. We are not your competition. We are not your opposition. We're not your entertainment, your servants, your mules. We are your brothers, your sisters, your Uncle Johnnies, and everything in between. We are your family. We are your community. So I leave y'all with this. You don't have to be me in order for us to fight alongside each other. I don't have to be you in order to recognize that our wars are the same. We must allow each other our differences at the same time as we recognize our sameness. And that's where to Audre Lorde. Go ahead and chew on that, honey.
Yep. Hold on. Ava played this content creator's stuff before on the show. His name is... Or the content creator's name is... Oh, come on, man. Oh, I had it on. Okay. I gotta explain. The content creator was replacing, usually another content creator, her name is Lina Vanni, I pronounced that right, yeah. BA in psychology, MA in AA, I know what I'm talking about. Yes, okay, so she's a content creator, and every Friday, I think it's every Friday, but every week, whatever, she drops the tea, shares the tea. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I'm getting all self-conscious and shit like that. Anyway, yeah. So I guess she's on vacation, and then she got this content creator to step in. And that content creator's name is... Yeah, I should have did the research, but, you know, shut up, podcast. That's how we do. Hold on a second. I played their stuff before, and their name is... where is it? Where is it again? Wait, he was right though. Thank you for understanding. I can't play. Dealt with. Want your children to embrace. Nope, not this one. Oh, this one. Yeah. I had them say something about. There we go. Holy fuck. The Rick Lewis. The Eric Lewis. I'm sorry. Yeah, Eric Lewis. That was a journey. All right. The reason why there's two things. Two reasons with Search My Heart is one is I was thinking about the Montgomery River Brawl. How. We all came together and no one gave a fuck about what kind of black person are you? And two, it served as a reminder that our siblings in the LGBTQIA plus community have been fighting with us since the beginning. Some of them have been able to, you know, self-identify, be free, and some of them had to repress their identity because, you know, some of us are assholes. And I think it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. They fight with us, and we can't allow them to be who they are. And I'm glad Eric Lewis. Hold on. You know what? Okay, I'm being a little over self-conscious because I'm worried about not using his proper pronouns. And the fact that he doesn't list his pronouns, I'm going to assume. I don't know how to. Yeah. I don't know his pronouns is, but look at me all self-conscious and shit. pray for me. Yeah, okay. I guess because I don't see any pronouns, I'm going to assume that he's not really. I am not dissing him by using the he pronoun. I say they, but, you know, hey, they, I'm a virgin. But I'm a work in progress, man. I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to be very respectable, but I understand that I'm putting on. I get a feeling that if I met this person, they would be like, chill, bro. What the fuck? Calm the fuck down. You don't need to put a performance. There ain't no white folks around us. Or he would simply tell me, I prefer blah. But with that said, that's not the point of this part. That's not the point of this segment. The point is respect for that piece, for that thought, and let that shit. You know, one of my dad in his church, he's one of his pastors. He works for other pastors. Just sent me some video about a march, some march that's gonna happen, and some crazy white woman is speaking about like, yeah, we gotta protect our kids, kind of march, and yeah, we're coming together with the Muslim community to protect their kid. It's kind of interesting how that's what it took for these people, these two hateful religions, to come together. Ooh, I have promised myself to not talk shit about Islam because I don't know enough about Islam to talk shit about it. But I am going to say, for these two hateful groups, I don't mean Islam. I mean these representatives, this group of people coming together with these hateful Christians to be on this protect our children bullshit. Where was I going with this? I forgot. But I'm just, yeah. Stop being an asshole. All right. Hey, by the way, final thoughts is going to be short, so don't worry about it. I'm not going to keep you long. Okay. So I say this, but, you know, I like to talk. I forget that it's getting late. Okay. Now, this next clip, I labeled it as something Dara Star Tucker said. I could have easily said something Eric Lewis said for the previous segment, but instead I just labeled it as the black family. Because that's what the core of, for me, that was the core, the major takeaway from me. All right, so now I'm going to say something. Dara Star Tucker, she's another content creator, and she said something that had me thinking, and I'm just going to play it and then share a quick thought about it. So here we go. God damn it, hold on. I'm not using the computer again. Hold on a second. Sorry. Okay. Go to this device. I swear, next time, we're gonna get this shit.
It's intoxicating being the black person that white people approve of, and I
rewind. Okay, yeah, we'll get our shit together. I'll get my shit together next episode. All right, so here we go.
Intoxicating being the black person that white people.
One more time.
It's intoxicating being the black person that white people approve of, and I know this because that's how I grew up. Being the black person that white people approved of and being deathly afraid of losing that approval.
Uh-huh.
White people, after all, have the most power in the U.S. They have most of the money and most of the influence. By and large, black people have been at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder since we were brought here in chains. That inferiority thing can hit you hard if you don't have a strong support system around you to remind you of your inherent value and beauty and worth, and if you're not taught the truth about our history and the impact of the unjust systems that create inequality. You can start to believe the lie that there's something inherently wrong with you, with your people. That's why black folks are fully capable of perpetuating anti-blackness.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with believing the lie taught to us by white supremacy, that we are by nature brutish and savage and deeply in need of civilizing. And that's what whiteness offers, the promise of that much-needed civilizing force, at which point, ostensibly, we'll become acceptable to them and we'll finally be welcomed into polite society with open arms. This oftentimes is at the root of Black conservatism, and I'll admit it can be deeply angering to witness, although I was raised around a lot of Black conservatives. Mm. Black conservatives can be just as vicious, if not more vicious, than white racists, because they can get away with saying things about Black people that closeted white racists can't. People like Clarence Thomas, Candace Owens, Thomas Sowell, Tim Scott, and Kanye have made a name for themselves in toxic conservative circles by telling a particular group of white folks exactly what they want to hear. That systemic racism is a myth, that Black people whose free labor fueled the economy for hundreds of years are essentially lazy and just want...
Pause. Yeah, I was going to say, a Black person will never go broke telling white people what they want to hear. Here we go. One more time. Rewind.
Essentially lazy and just want handouts, and that we need a return to the good old days where Black people didn't complain so much. And this strategy, by and large, has worked for them. They get to experience the intoxication of white approval while being treated to yacht trips by well-connected billionaires and earning copious amounts of money by parroting white supremacist talking points. I mean, what's the downside? A certain segment of white America will always need Black mouthpieces to say what they would sound racist for saying. It's lifelong job security. There have always been Black conservatives, to be sure, but this new breed seems to exist solely for the purpose of downplaying the effects of racism on behalf of their conservative overlords. It's a dirty business whose primary purpose is to create a counter-narrative to a growing racial awareness and to provide cut-and-paste talking points to internet trolls, or maybe just your totally not racist uncle. Black folks peddling white supremacy to win white approval will always be big business, as long as those in power have something to gain from it. That's why it's important to remember that just because a Black person said it doesn't mean it's not anti-Black. Stay woke.
Stay woke. I think she's talking to white people with this one, but I can't add to what she said. The one thing that had me thinking is she was talking about how doing things for the approval of white people. And once you understand that, you understand these quote-unquote coons, these quote-unquote Uncle Toms, the Candace Owens. It's, I get it. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. I was, while I listened to her message, I was thinking about how, what if you're the kind of personality who, I relate to this, who goes through life constantly seeking other people's approval. Now, I remember when I broke away, when I finally realized, oh, shit, I'm a Black person, right? Basically, I realized that white people were not the people, were unworthy of giving me their approval. I mean, I still had white supremacy fucking with my head, right? Like, I still had the white gaze in me. The politics of, what's that politics called again? Politeness politics? No. You know what I mean? Like pull your pants up and shit. Like, I still had that mindset. But for the most part, I broke away from needing white people's approval. But I still remember in my growth, all I did was switching my approval from one group to another. At this point, I just wanted the approval of Black folks. So I agree with everything. Okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to say to be Black? I understand that part. I understand. This is not me, because somewhere there's Uncle Tom. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm just not trying to get approval from Black people. What I'm saying is, as easier as you can grow up to be the person who seeks the approval of white people, you can also be the kind of person who seeks approval from another group. And that's my question. You're going for life. Who are you seeking approval from? Now, it's a rhetorical question. Well, kind of. But I am thinking for myself how there was a time where I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. I was going through life and I was trying to get approval. I just realized that. Because I wanted to be, like, my part of why I call myself B-Black, where the name came from. being black was very important to me. Like, actually, Be Black, I didn't realize this, but the name Be Black started out as me overcompensating. For me, my black identity was important. It's like, yeah, I can't have anyone saying, calling me an Uncle Tom, anyone saying that I'm one of those black people seeks approval for white people. So I went like, boom. So I joined the Hope Tech movement. But now I think I'm working on this thing called self-approval. Being able to look in the mirror and say, yo, you got this right. Which is probably why this podcast is such a challenge for me, putting this podcast out, is because I'm constantly worrying of it being accepted as opposed to putting shit out that I like. Look, okay, I'm going longer than I wanted to, but the concept of seeking other people's approval is what got me thinking the most. Like, it's one thing to get it from white people and then transferring to black people, or going for black people to white, but it's the idea of people who go through life seeking other people's approval. I said people again. I was one of those people. Now, I'm saying was. I'm sure there's probably a trait of still needing approval from other people that's still in me. But I'm working on it. That's what I want. Yo, this podcast is all about growth. All right, okay. Shout out to Darius. Shout out to all these content creators that got me thinking. That say shit that makes me want to think. All right, okay, last but not least, I'm going to leave this as, have y'all heard this? Y'all heard this shit? Now, I have no context. I may look this up later after the show. I have no context to why the fuck Eminem and Melly Mel are beefing. If you don't know who Melly Mel is, then Jesus Christ. Ask your parents. All right, yeah, well, Melly Mel is beefing. But I remember seeing this picture of Melly Mel responding to Eminem, and I expected that shit to suck, and homie caught me off guard. So I'm just gonna play this clip. I have no idea about the beef between Melly Mel and Eminem. That's irrelevant. What is relevant is the fucking verse that Melly Mel dropped. Like, wow. All I know is, yo, Eminem, you better tread lightly, cause that motherfucker is a legend. He came out of retirement to spank you. No, don't get me wrong. I like Eminem. Eminem is like one of my favorite artists. I love to see Eminem go after this other rappers. But Melly Mel? Yeah, man. Be careful, man. Don't destroy your legacy. Hold on. Where is it right now? Not now. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to play this shit because it's fucking dope.
It's the one. No apologies, this ain't a disclaimer. I'm the king of legend, the first Hall of Famer. Making diss tracks, hey, I know you with that. Now everybody get ready for the kickback.
Whoa.
Why you hurt, why you mad, now you look bad. Hey. Like a roach just crawled out of your book bag.
Come
in a packed class, you lack class. Go to bed with no supper, cause you gotta suffer the backlash. The top five is cap, you the piss just on the floor. In the elevator of rap. Why you ducking on the game when you shit on my name? Why they put Pee Wee Herman in the Hall of
Pee-wee
Fame?
Herman.
I would give you a pound, but I prick your hand. I got a lawyer so white, he will take your land. Yo, check your man, come and look at your friend, cause I think that Eminem is popping pills again. We call Bill Clinton or either Bill Gates. What pill did we take to make him hate the great? Think you are, but you ain't. Still, you made a mistake. Hit a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'ma give your fans one more chance to go online and re-energize that bromance. After that, say your last goodbye. Cup of four, put Matthew's lights out. I'm turning off the fucking Wi-Fi. Another little kid, don't hate the greats. More white chalk, more yellow tape. Who that? Melly Mel.
Jesus Christ. That shit caught me up. Yo, it was so dope that I made it a part of this fucking a segment on this podcast, right? And also, remember, if you heard it here first, tell people you heard it here first. Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I love Eminem as a rapper. I'm a huge fan. I'm not those black guys who's like, who can't record. Yo, fuck that, man. I'm inspired. I love how he destroyed Benzino. Yeah, Benzino. But damn. Melly Mel succeeded where, and what Melly Mel, they go on the, yo, I sell more drugs than you, shit like that. No, he, lyrically, this was a lyrical combat. Anyway, all right, okay. So remember where you heard it here first. You heard it here first. All right, let's jump to final thoughts, and we get the fuck out of here, right? Be black, it's a school night, all right? So yeah, let's do this, all right? So. Bump, bump. Okay, final thoughts. Okay, so the title, what's up with today's title? I kind of got kind of clever, right? I wasn't really clever. Okay, so Tupac has a verse that goes, pussy and paper is poetry, power and pistol. I think that's just his way of saying pussy and paper are good things. Poetry, power, and pistol. The reason I was thinking of poetry, podcasts, and pistols. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to say any sense. It really, it's just me feeling, I'm grateful that I'm remembering that moment after I bought my ticket to go to Jersey, to go to the Apex Spoken Word, hosted by Talal Macy, my favorite spoken word artist. I got his book right here. I got his collection, a lot of his CDs. I remember the first time seeing him on stage. The thing about Talal Macy is I remember when I was going through my spiritual journey, how his poetry reached me, sometimes would reach me more than my teachers and my preachers couldn't reach me. Yeah, would get further. The message would hit me harder than a sermon, than a rap song. What am I forgetting? Than a sermon, rap song, or a lecture. So, I'm remembering that moment where I bought the ticket. I remember, because it takes me a little while to make up my mind. I remember, like, hey, what if I go to Jersey and get robbed? Whatever, right? Thinking, oh, the fuck, I would have been. I haven't been on a plane since 2018. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've left this country. But I still remember listening to, after I bought my ticket, and then listening to an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips, and Karen, apparently she wasn't supposed to say that, but whatever, but she jumped the gun. I don't know, man. I don't know how Rod, because Rod and Karen are a team, right? But I guess Karen must have been excited. She said, blup, we got a show. And she said, September 9th. And I remember going, whoa, it's the same fucking weekend. It was like, DMX has a track called Lord Give Me a Sign. It was like I was reciting Lord Give Me a Sign and This Is It. On the same fucking weekend, Talal Macy, I had the opportunity to meet Talal Macy in real life. Here's hoping I don't get shy and shit like that. And the Black Guy Who Tips, Rod and Karen, and the Black Guy Who Tips community in Charlotte, North Carolina. Is this South? Yeah, North Carolina. Whatever. Yeah. I remember when she announced it, hearing it on the same weekend and thinking, you know, like the three wise men, and they saw that big star in the sky. That's how I felt. I'm like, okay, yo, we gotta go towards this car. Baby Jesus is coming to life. I gotta give him some of this gold, some of this myrrh. I don't know what, frankincense, whatever. Like, it was a sign from beyond. And finally bought my ticket. I was in denial about the fact that I bought my ticket because if I think about it, my brain's gonna start thinking all negative about everything that can't go wrong. I just gotta control it. But a friend of mine was my homegirl V. She was just talking randomly. She was just saying, hey. Because she's been on my case. It's like, yo, motherfucker, get out there. Get up and get something. Travel. Because we like to travel. We do our thing, whatever, right? And I hadn't traveled for a while. And I think it was affecting my mindset, the fact I've been in Ottawa. Maybe that's why I'm so bitter. Whatever. Anyway, so, and we were just casually talking. She said, hey, you finally making a trip? Because she's going somewhere to Columbia insert joke about selling drugs. Anyway, yeah, she's going to Colombia. She's showing off. I just came back from Vietnam. I'm going to Colombia. Whatever, right? And then she just asked me, so you finally... She doesn't talk this way. She didn't use these words like, you finally got off your black ass and planned a trip? And I remember she asked me, she was just casually asking me, and I was getting ready to be like, no, I don't know. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Yes. I bought my plane ticket to go to the States. All this to say, I'm fucking happy. I don't know if I complain a lot on this podcast on whatever, but this is me taking a moment to acknowledge the fact that, good job, B-Black. Good job. Hold on a second. Let me just, you know, it's like, that's what's up, right? I'm happy I did it. Try not to think about the trip getting canceled. I can't stop myself. I'm thinking I'm going to get through the border. Airport security is going to be, wait, isn't your name B-Black? Don't you have a podcast called Shut Up Podcast? Yeah, we're not letting you in the States. My mind keeps going negative. Whatever. I can't stop myself. But anyway, my point is I'm fucking happy. And that's what the title is all about. It's just me expressing my glee of the fact that pussy and paper. I'm exaggerating. I was going to say. Making my own self laugh. Beef, hurry up, man. What I was going to say is, what I'm laughing at, my own idea, is that Tupac says, pussy and papers, poetry, power, and pistols. I say, poetry, podcast, and pistol is pussy and paper. All right. And this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Like always, you can DM me if you want to get a hold of me. You can holler at me, DM me via Twitter. Okay, you know, insert bad joke about Elon fucking up Twitter. Via Twitter. My Twitter handle is bblizak or Shut Up Podcast, or via TikTok, DM me at b.black. But preferably, holler at me, just go to the website, increase the counts, because, you know, I'm trying to get some advertisers. No, I'm not trying to get advertisers, but I am trying to increase the views. It'd be nice if I could go to the logs, to my logs, analyze my log analyzer and go blink and see a bleep, you know what I mean? Oh, wow, someone has visited the site and it wasn't me. I don't recognize this IP address. Oh, someone visited the site and it wasn't a bot. All right. Okay. So, yeah. So go to the website, shutuppodcast.com. Show notes will be there. The links that I played, you know, I guess I should update you on my web project. I'm going to add a feature on the website. Sorry, I'm making myself laugh again. I'm going to add a feature on the website where every TikTok, Twitter shit that I play that I've commented on the podcast, I will make it available on the website. Actually, I'm working on it. I'm figuring it out. Right now it's going to be Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok all separate, but at some point they're all going to be blended together. The reason I was laughing is because I was feeling like Donald Trump, because I'm making all these promises about the website, and I'm not sure when it's going to get done. I'm working on it. I'm going to have to fork the bill. Oh, shit. I'm going to have to pay for it to get it done. But it's going to get done. That's all you're going to have to run. So, yeah, shutuppodcast.com. You can email me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. To subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. I think I'm also on the podcast is also on Podchaser. Is that what it's called? Podchaser? But, yeah, the major ones is the RSS feed, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Yo, seriously, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Bam, bam, bam. Peace. I am your king now. I am your king now.